Let's get right to the presidential campaign. House Speaker Paul Ryan this morning told House Republicans he's no longer going to campaign for Donald Trump and urged Republican members to focus on retaining their majority in the House. It sounded to some like an admission that he believes Hillary Clinton will win and Democrats will take back the Senate, which would be a stunning admission following last night's second presidential debate in which Trump brought up allegations that the Clintons abused women and threatened to jail Hillary Clinton for use of a private email server if he becomes president.
If I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special...
NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving joins us now. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Jeremy.
And we'll get to that because that's a very interesting thing to get into all by itself. But first, your thoughts on what Paul Ryan has told Republicans today and the implication that he believes that Hillary Clinton will win.
Paul Ryan has told his very large House majority, it's over 240 seats, that each individual Republican has to make his own decision. You do you, said Paul Ryan. And that means that some people in their district will find it necessary to distance themselves from Donald Trump, as now one-third of the Republican senators have done already. And some of them will say, no, I'm going to stand by Donald Trump, and perhaps a rather large majority of them will say, I'm going to stand by Donald Trump because that's where most of my voters are. Maybe not most of my voters in November, but most of my voters the next time I have to face a primary within the Republican Party. That's their real pressure point, and that's what they're going to be thinking about as they decide how to deal with Donald Trump.
And as of yesterday, USA Today counted 24 representatives, 15 senators, and 7 governors, Republicans, who have withdrawn their support from Trump in some way. Is the House seriously in play, Ron, this election cycle?
It is hard to see that because it would take 30 seat takeaways net for the Democrats to actually take control. The Democrats have some seats that they're going to have a little trouble defending because of remapping in various states. They may pick up states, for example, in Florida, they may pick up seats, but they may lose a few as well. So they would need a net of 30. And it usually, most people's assessment, it's very hard to find 30 seats the Republicans can lose. And there's a reason for that. Even though the Democrats right now are running ahead of Republicans in polling, when you ask around the country, do you plan to vote for a Democrat for the House or for a Republican for the House? Right now, the latest polling we've seen over the weekend shows that Democrats are up about 7 points on that question. So that would look real good if that were the way that we elected our House of Representatives. But of course, we don't.
Right.
We have 435 separate elections. And when you look at it that way, it's tough to find 30 districts the Republicans could possibly lose.
Trump brought up Bill Clinton's infidelities last night. And here's what he said when asked if comments he made about groping women constitute sexual assault.
This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it. But this is locker room talk. You know, when we have a world where you have ISIS chopping off heads, where you have, and frankly, drowning people in steel cages, where you have...
Ron, did Trump stop the bleeding in his campaign last night by pivoting away from the tape that came out on Friday?
Perhaps for the moment, and he certainly slowed the hemorrhage of people who had walked away from support for him over the weekend. You mentioned the senators, the congressmen, governors, former officials, such Republican notables as Condi Rice, people of that sort saying no longer could they support Donald Trump. We'll not hear as much of that today, despite what Paul Ryan said to his troops, but did he really stop the bleeding with the voters? That's the question, as more people actually get around to watching this videotape. Now, everyone's heard about the videotape and they've heard it characterized. But as more people actually watch the videotape, what conclusion will they reach about this distinction he's making between locker room talk and the actions that he describes in that locker room talk?
one of his biggest defenders is really Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City, who went on all the Sunday morning political talk shows yesterday to defend Trump's comments. Here's a little bit.
The fact is that men at times talk like that. Not all men, but men do.
You've talked like that?
He was wrong for doing it. I am not justifying it. I believe it's wrong. I know he believes it's wrong. I believe that this is not the man that we're talking about today.
One of the questions that I saw people talking about over the weekend, Ron, is why is Rudy Giuliani willing to go out there and defend Trump? What does he have to gain from this that obviously a number of other people in the Trump campaign decided that they didn't want to go out and defend him?
There had been several other people, including his campaign manager, Reince Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee, who were booked to defend Donald Trump on the Sunday morning talk shows. The campaign decided that they wanted one spokesperson doing all of those shows. They wanted to keep everybody else focused on the other things they needed to do. And perhaps some of them were having a little bit of trouble actually formulating the answers to questions. Rudy Giuliani was ready to go out and do battle. And if he's going to do it one place, you might as well use the same warrior across the whole array of Sunday morning talk shows. Rudy Giuliani has shown himself to be willing to do just about anything that the Trump campaign asks him to do against Hillary Clinton. And obviously, there could be a role for him in a Trump administration, possibly that attorney general job that Chris Christie's been interested in or something else.
Just 30 seconds left here, Ron. But what about that clip of tape we played at the top of the threat of jailing Hillary Clinton, or at least appointing a special prosecutor, which could lead to jailing a political opponent?
That would be within Donald Trump's powers as president of the United States. He could tell his attorney general he wanted to see a special counsel appointed. That's the actual term for it. We usually call it a prosecutor because that's usually what the special counsel does.
That's NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. We've got one more presidential debate, and we will be watching everything that happens between now and then and beyond. Ron, thanks so much as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.